Before I get into the message, I thought I would tell you a little bit about what's been going on the last couple of weeks as far as the work. You know, I always get a kick out of it, and when I ask Ronnie what's he doing or what's going on, he'll tell me, I mean, exactly everything he's been doing, what's going on. And I thought I ought to use that to my advantage, because sometimes you're sort of left out in the dark. I want you to feel like you're a part of something bigger here, as far as the outreach that's going on. So I thought I would just go through this quickly. This month, the month of July, the programs that are airing on TV is Ambassadors for Christ. Then the next week will be The Fool Has Said. Now, I don't know if these are actually in order as to the way they will run them. I do sometimes put a date on them, so this may be correct. Third week, America's Destiny. And the fourth week in July is Jesus Christ's Gospel. What was the gospel that Christ brought about the kingdom of God? Which all of these messages I think are very good. And of course, I have a biased opinion about that. Anyway, in the Whistleblower, we've ran an ad. Why did Jesus speak in parables? And we've gotten six responses from that so far. And what they get is, they get this nice little booklet here, If God So Loved the World, Why Are So Many People Going to Hell? On the back, they get a nice CD, The Salvation Paradox by Ron Dart, which ties into the booklet. Also, they get a brochure, a very nice brochure that Greg put together, Why Did Jesus Speak in Parables? And it goes into the fact that, one, God is not calling everybody at this time, but that everybody will get a chance for salvation according to God's timing, which involves the second resurrection. God's in control of that, not the television evangelists. Thank goodness for that. Also, in the last 2 weeks, 34 CDs have been sent out to the CD program. Half of those CDs was Pentecost message. The other was entitled When Life Was Fun. When Life Was Fun. When you were younger. Also, I try to upload videos every day to YouTube. The first seven a couple weeks ago was How Do You Know That You Are Saved? A series of seven messages. And the latest ones have been, Is It Wrong to Pass Judgment? Video every day they get on YouTube. And, it's all of it. People have been connecting me up with their Google search things, and I've become a part of a group or their little circle. And that's what you're after. It keeps spreading, and the more people you get in contact with, the more it's shared on Facebook, YouTube, and all of these outlets, GodTube. I also upload to that, try to, every day. But it's just a matter of influencing more people, sharing that with others, and eventually, hopefully, it will spread and become, you know, a bigger outreach effort. So I wanted to let you know that. And for the message now, let's see. There was a song, You Raise Me Up. Powerful message. And then many years ago, there was a message, and I forget who sang this one, Lord, lift us up where we belong, where the eagles fly on a mountain high. And there are times in the Christian life, in fact, it occurs again and again and again, when you need to be lifted up, raised up, because you're down. You're down in the dumps. And you need to do something to get back up on top of the mountain where eagles fly. Times when we are confused, when tragedy strikes, when we feel like giving up, when we even question our calling, when we make great mistakes, when we sin. We need to be lifted up again. And in James 4 and verse 10, it tells us this very thing. It says in James 4 and verse 10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Well, it's a promise. If you do this, God will lift you up. And it's really an issue of, is that something that you're needing right now? Do you need to be lifted up? Depends on what you're going through. There's another verse in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. You don't have to turn there. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Again, exalt you, lift you up, raise you up. The promise is this. I want to raise you up. I want to lift you up. I want to exalt you. But there's a condition. It's not for everybody. It's a condition. Humble yourself, and I will do this. I think humility is one of the most misunderstood words out there. What is it? What does it mean to humble oneself? I've seen a pretense of humility, people acting humble, you know, where the guy, you know, sort of guy just sort of walks around like this and sort of looks up every now and then and sort of, you know, it's a pretense of humility. Maybe their wives rule over them or whatever. But it's like a pretense, an act of humility. Often people can belittle themselves, thinking that this is humility. They put themselves down continuously. And they think, well, this is humble for me to do this, to put myself down, to tear myself down. The Bible talks about voluntary humility. And it's almost as if something that people can turn on and off. Whenever it's needed, they can do it. If they don't need it now, I'll cut it off. Voluntary humility. Jesus said, look, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Fasting is probably one of the most powerful tools to humble oneself. But if your motive is wrong, that's not going to do you any good either. So you can take something, a tool, an instrument like fasting, and use it for all the wrong reasons. What is real humility? Real humility is between you and God alone. It has nothing to do with mankind or other people. It's just between you and God. Real humility. And so I'm asking, do you need to be lifted up? Are you going through a state of confusion, tragedy? You feel like giving up. You question your calling. You've made great mistakes. You've sinned. You come up short. You've yielded to the temptation. Whatever. You need to be lifted up. God can raise you up. Lift you up. But there is a condition. Humble oneself before God. The second feast I went to was Panama City Beach, Florida. We stayed at the Edgewater Beach Resort. We walked into this beautiful room and opened up the windows overlooking the Gulf of Mexico. The scenery in itself was just striking. But there was a plaque on the wall. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It's Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." I love that verse. I love that verse. And sometimes you can feel like you're grounded on the runway. You're sitting there in the plane for 3 hours. I'm not taking off. I'm just grounded. Just sit here. When am I going to get off the ground? When is God going to raise me up? When are we going to fly? And my point is, there's something you can do about it. It's called to humble oneself. And God will lift you up. In James 4 and verse 6, and we're going to go through these scriptures here in James. James 4 and verse 6 says, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace unto the humble." God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, maybe you think, well, I'm not a proud person. I don't have a problem with that. Well, you know, I looked at the word humility. It means this. It means lacking all signs of pride, aggressiveness, or self-assertiveness. Self-assertiveness. And when I read that word, self-assertiveness, it sort of stopped me in my tracks. You know, I thought, well, you know, that's the American way to success. To push something, to just, you know, beyond your limits. It's what I call what I'm referring to is what I would call the entitlement pampered life. The entitlement pampered life that we all feel like we deserve. I don't know how many Americans feel entitled because they're Americans. You know, I'm entitled to everything. I'm entitled to a handout. But I'm talking about the entitled pampered life. That's not humility, by the way. So I want to look at what humility is not. what humility is not. And as I go through this, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying these things are wrong in and of themselves. What I'm saying is, if you're going to humble yourself for a period of time in order that God can lift you up, this is what you need to understand. You need to understand what humility is not. So this is the goal. We're going to try to humble ourselves so that God can lift you up. All right. There was a song many years ago, I Want to Talk About Me. What I like, what I want, what I see. And it's a song about this guy had this big mouth girlfriend who would never shut up talking about herself. And he says, every now and then, I just want to talk about me, you know. I get a few words in edgewise. Well, this is not humility, okay? I want to talk about me. That's not humility. You need to can it. You need to be quiet. You need to shut up, okay? If you want humility, you got to understand this. This is not humility. I want to talk about me. What humility is not? Humility is not eating that T-bone steak. Or going through, am I saying that's wrong? No. I'm saying if you want to go through a period of humbling yourself so that God can lift you up, putting on the feed bag, going through the endless buffet, whatever. This is not humility. This is not humility. Vacation in Hawaii, I can guarantee you, is not humility. But, you know, it's going to be hard to humble yourself while you're sitting on the beach with your martini or whatever, that little Bahama Mama, you know, and you're sitting there and you think, I'm humbling myself right now. This is great. This is not humility, okay? This is not humility. Any vacation, anywhere, is not humility. Getting high, choose your drug, whatever. No, don't, please. But is not humility. You know, I'm going to humble myself by drinking some beer. No, this is not humility. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I thought about that. You know, I thought about, okay, who says I've got to do this? You know, maybe I come home, drink some or whatever. Well, why don't I be filled with the Spirit? Why don't I read my Bible instead? Am I saying this is wrong to take a drink? No. What I'm saying is, if you're going to be lifted up, if you're going to humble yourself, if you're going to go through a period where you can humble yourself and God will lift you up, you got to understand what humility is not. Entertaining yourself is not humility. Is it wrong to watch a movie, watch TV, anything like that? No. Play games? No. But it's not humility. And you know, it's a strange, if you're not going through any heartaches, humbling yourself will not be important to you. It just won't. It's just not important to you. Listening to your favorite music. You take off in your car and you pop in that CD, your favorite song, and you listen to it all day long. This is not humility. Burning the candle at both ends. You know, you may be obsessed with your work. You may work morning, noon, and night, but I can guarantee you that's not humility. You're going to have to take a break. Tearing other people down is not humility. Tearing others down. So again, if you're going to humble yourself for a period of time in order that God can lift you up, you have to identify what humility is not. Continuing on in James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know why we don't resist the devil? Because it interferes with the entitlement pampered life. It really does. You know, people can say, well, my struggle is greater than anybody else. You know, you don't know what I'm going through. My temptations must be greater than anybody else. No, it's not that. The point is, resistance clashes with your pampered life. That's the real issue right there. That's why we don't resist the devil, because it clashes with your pampered life. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, the word double-minded means that there are two minds which are opposed to each other. You got two minds that are opposed to each other. And you can't be God's man and double-minded. You just can't. Or God's woman and double-minded. Verse 9 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now, this is why I say humility is not the pampered life, because it says right here, be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. You can't humble yourself at a comedy club. And this word be afflicted, it's a word that we don't like, but it's the same, you know, it's the same word. It has to do with the Day of Atonement, which represents, you know, a fast day. How do you afflict your soul? By fasting. And we don't like that. You know, it's like it's the F word in religion, you know, fasting. Ugh. We don't want to do that because of the atonement, you know, we go without food and drink, which is very tough. But you know, it doesn't have to be that way to afflict your soul. You can go on just, you know, just a liquid fast, just drinking maybe water or juice, and to go without food. So, but this is one of the ways that we afflict our soul. And this says, be afflicted, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Notice that. He's going to lift you up. He wants to lift you up. He wants to raise you up. Condition is to humble yourself. And verse 11, I don't want to leave that one out. It says, speak not evil one of another. And I'll just stop right there, but that's part of some of the points that we went through. The promise is God will lift you up if you do this. Why is this important? I want to leave you with some points about how can you identify when you're headed for a fall? How can you identify when you're headed for a fall? Because in order to prevent a fall, what can you do? Humble yourself. So how to identify when you're headed for a fall? Hebrews 5 and verse 11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. First point, how to identify when you're headed for a fall. You're just dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Now, what am I talking about? Hearing people talk? Not necessarily. The Bible, the Word of God, reading your Bible, listening to sermons, listening to messages during the week is just not important. You're dull of hearing. You're headed for a fall. How to prevent that? Humble yourself. Number two, no prayer life. No prayer life. It just gets weeded out. I mean, it's just no time for prayer life. I mean, you can't hit your knees. You can't make your knees go down. You just don't have time to pray. I'm not saying you always got to pray on your knees or anything like that. You can pray in your car. You can pray while you're driving. But no prayer life and you're headed for a fall. Three is a reference here, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. It says this. It says, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. What am I talking about? Sorrow that doesn't work. You know, you've the same problem again and again. You've taken this same problem before God again and again. And you think, okay, what's going on here? Same problem. Sorrow doesn't seem to be working. Well, it could be the sorrow that is of the world. It's not real repentance. How can you get real repentance? Humble yourself before God. Number four, how do you know when you're headed for a fall? No resistance. I talked about that. Resist the devil and he will flee. Often resistance interferes with the pampered life. Don't want to do it. I don't want to resist. I want to give in to this. I want to do what I know is wrong. And number five, last point, how do you know when you're headed for a fall? Filling your life with what I call futility. Futility. Futile things. You know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. And it talks about, it goes through a list of some things. It says, put away lying, but how do you do that? Well, it contrasts it with speak every man the truth. So how am I going to put away lying? Start speaking the truth. In other words, you just can't take out this void in your life, this vacuum. You can't create a vacuum. You got to replace it with something. So if I'm going to quit lying, I've got to start speaking the truth. It says, "Steal, don't steal anymore." And then it says, labor working with your hands. So how am I going to quit stealing? Well, I got to do the opposite here. I got to labor with my hands. We have to fill this void in our lives, but often we fill this void in our lives with what I call futility. Futile things. You know, music. Is music bad? No, it's not bad. It's not bad to listen to music. But you know, you can get into it. I found myself getting into a pattern where every morning I would pop in a CD. I have every 70 song that's ever existed. I've got stacks of CDs that high. It's just that one generation, though, that all, you know. And I found myself just listening and listening and listening to 70s music. And I thought to myself, this is like an addiction or something. Why am I listening to this stuff? Filling your life with. Why couldn't you listen to sermon messages? I'm listening to, just the past week, I listened to The Ten Commandments by Ron Dart. Powerful message. So every day I'm popping in a CD the Ten Commandments. On my way to work, on my way back to work, I'm listening. I'm filling my mind with this. You know, futility. Getting high, I mentioned about that. Instead, the Bible tells us, instead of doing that, be filled with the Spirit. Endless activities that we get involved in. Instead of that, what about God's work? Now, I've been practicing this. You know, any sermon I give comes from a personal example of what I'm going through, but I've been practicing this for some time now, trying to humble myself, trying to do this, and I found myself, it was one evening, it was pouring down rain, and I raised the window up, and the rain was hitting the deck, and I lay down on the couch, and I was just listening to the rain hit the deck. And I thought, man, this is weird. I don't need a drink. I don't need a project to work on. I haven't filled my head with music that's, you know, running. You know, when you do that, it just gets stuck in your head, the same song. So you play it over and over. And I thought it was an awareness that I don't have to fill my life with these futile things. And it was almost like a peace came over me that I haven't experienced in quite a while, you know. And it was, I read a statement a long time ago. It said, addictive people cannot relax. You know, that's something else you want to look to when you're headed for a fall. You can't relax. You know, even your vacations are full. You know, it's like you got to take a vacation after you get back from your vacation. You got to take some time off and rest up. You know, addictive people cannot relax. But like I said, there was just listening to that rain, there was a, and I thought, I don't need anything. You know, it's like that Holly song. Sometimes all I need is the air that I breathe and to love you. I think he's talking about a woman, but I'm talking about God here. You know, to come to that point where this is all that I need. And it was a powerful concept to come to. Anyway, I want to conclude with Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. It says, "For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." Now, if we just stop there, that would be, okay, I dwell in the high and holy place. But let's continue on. Because he says, also, I'm inserting the also, but with him also, this is where I dwell, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Where does God dwell? Well, he's high and lofty. That's where he dwells. But he also dwells right here with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And I'm going to lift up that humble spirit. I'm going to revive the heart of the contrite one. You know, you don't have to stay grounded on the runway. God will raise you up. God will lift you up where eagles fly on mountains high.